Okay. I told it, Evan, I would do the intro because I have a song, but I don't really have one. So I'm going to make it up.
Go for it.
It's podcast time. It's the Evan Caitlin pod where we talk about things.
Yeah.
Okay. New tradition.
Uh-oh. Hi, guys. Welcome to another Evan and Caitlin podcast. Let's just jump into things. Today is going to be a Q&A episode.
Yeah.
But before
specifically,
we get
a Patreon Q&A.
Yeah. So thank you to everyone over there for your support. But first, we're going to talk about what's new. What's new, Caitlin? We've just kind of been here at home, not leaving much.
Not leaving much. You know what we have been doing a lot, though?
Streaming.
Which is kind of like leaving, but just in a digital way.
Hanging out with hundreds of our friends.
Yeah, we've been streaming a lot more. Like a lot more. And it's been really fun. And one thing that we've done two times since we last recorded a podcast is two charity streams. And I remember this because our last podcast, we were like, oh, our charity stream is tomorrow. How's it going to go?
Oh, yeah.
You know? So we've done two now, which is pretty crazy. And they went really well.
Yeah, the first
one. We were so nervous.
The first one raised $4,700. The second one raised $7,400, which is super, super cool. Really proud of our community coming together for that.
Over 12,000 in total in a couple weeks across these two streams.
All of our pandemic relief, all of the funds going straight to charities that can really make a difference, buying masks, buying food for people who need it, you know,
and we
just
do
helping
still have
out
this,
in general.
We do still have the second one open on Twitch. So if you're like, I want to do some good, like we're not doing another big charity stream, but we're just keeping it open.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nerve-wracking because, you know, typically our streams, we stream for like 2.5 to 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's kind of our average.
That's kind of like I'm not sure if we've talked about this yet, but Caitlin and I define introverts and extroverts by like, do we get energy up by being around other people or do we get energy up by being alone? And being alone would be introverts and being around other people to get your energy up, extroverts. And I think that by that definition, we are both definitely introverts. We get our energy up when we're in like chill time and then we can spend that energy.
Yeah. I like the word recharge.
Because when you say
get energy, that might mean like get pumped, but like
we're just alone and we're getting so pumped.
Yes.
No, recharge our batteries.
Yeah. And so typically after like a few hours of being like very social, we're like, it's nice to take like a little break and just kind of, you know, like get to our computers and do some quiet computer productives. But doing our first stream was 7 hours and the second one was 8 hours. Now that's a marathon.
That's a marathon.
And don't get me wrong. It was super fun. It was like, it's kind of like when we've gone to events and it's just like so much concentrated goodness, but then you're so exhausted afterwards because it's like a lot more than you're used to.
Well, we also pushed ourselves in other ways because we didn't want the streams to be like just one thing. So in the second stream, Caitlin did art live, taking request drawings.
That was so fun.
You know, we played internet games like Google Feud and everything. And we like, I think that pushing ourselves like for a good cause like this also had the side effect of allowing us to grow and get more confident in Twitch streaming in general, which is cool.
Yeah, and try some new things. Like, I would totally do more request drawings. Some people have been submitting, colored versions of them on Twitter, and it's so cute.
Maybe we should just do, like, an art stream where Caitlin just draws art all stream. And I, like, me and chat and everyone, we just hang out and watch Caitlin draw because it's fun.
And you can, like, read people's, because I couldn't read people's comments when I was drawing.
Yeah.
So if people had feedback, I had to, like, take a break to look so you can like give me suggestions like add on to the drawing.
Yeah, that'd be so fun. I want to do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Well, hey, maybe if we like want to keep streaming but we don't want to overload our editors, like we want to give them a chance to catch up, we'll start incorporating those because they won't be edited highlight streams.
Yeah, and then after the stream we'll post all of your, like, you can do it in layers this time, and then you can post all the Photoshop files
so people can color them.
that'd be fun.
But yeah, it was a really good experience doing the charity streams. And it just, you know, it gives you the good feels seeing you guys come together and raise so much money. It was pretty dang awesome. And like, you know, we're we're relatively new to Twitch. We're not a super, like, we're not super established streamers. And there was a lot of really big people streaming that day. Mm-hmm. And I think we were ranked like number 18 or 19.
Yeah, of all the hundreds of people raising money, the community that came together around us to do good deeds and to try to help out during a tough moment for everyone. You guys crushed it. So
yeah, that's crazy.
It's really cool.
You guys are awesome.
So for those of you guys who don't know, we have a Patreon over at patreon.com/Evan and Caitlin. We post sneak peeks of our projects. We just like do little mini vlogs, after shows, and all sorts of bonus content over there. And one of the things we did yesterday is request questions from our supporters over there. So we're just going to kind of go through some of those. Our patrons also like tend to be some of the people who know us the best and who have watched a lot of our content and watched a lot of our past Q&As. So there's been really good questions, like not like repeat questions. So it's a really, really awesome place to source questions from.
Yeah. And we probably won't.
we probably won't get to all of them.
All of them today. So we might spread it into a couple podcasts. But I figured we would just start going through some of the ones that we wanted to answer. And yeah.
Starting with Sarah. Oh, no. I'm really bad at reading names.
That's a challenging one. Give it a shot.
Schleihlein. Uh-oh. Well, thank you for the question, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
She asked, of all of the projects you have made, which ones are most useful and have been worth it, and which ones have been sitting idle?
Mm.
Number one that's so been worth it are desks.
Oh, yeah.
We use them... Oh, you were thinking of something else?
I had another number one.
Oh, our desks.
There's a lot of tops.
We use our the desk we're at right now.
And our other desk, our editing desk.
Of everything that we use around the house, we use the two desks more than anything. And they are really solid. I like a lot of things about each. Have we learned things that we can improve on each?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Oh,
mostly
yes.
That we need them to both be much bigger. We just can't do that in this tiny room.
Yeah, but also the great thing about how we constructed these desks, they both have like nice surfaces we can reuse for whatever.
Yeah.
And they're T-solid aluminum framing, which means we can reconfigure them into other things in the future, or, you know, rebuild this desk into a version 2 of it or what have you.
Yeah.
I really like T-solid aluminum framing.
So one of my top projects in terms of like still super, super useful was our garage makeover.
Oh, those are probably the two biggest, most important things.
If you think about like what we do, we are at desks or we are in the garage. So it makes sense that that's what we would pick. But another top used project,
yes,
top in this house, is the catio.
Oh, yeah.
Already been out there for hours today.
Of all of the cat projects, she loves the catio.
She loves it.
We
so
are
dang
also
much.
Planning on catio part 2.
Yeah, I don't know when that'll be.
At some point in the future.
It could be yours.
I probably shouldn't throw that out right now. Yeah. But
I'm trying to backwalk.
But yeah. we are starting to plan it.
Mm-hmm.
Lightly.
Yeah, we would
we want it to be a bigger, more grand thing.
Yeah. But yeah, catio, she loves. I would say some things. So like there's some things we make that are kind of more just to try a technique, but like we don't need the thing. So for example, some of our resin experiments. So like we made resin planets. I'm using quotation marks here. Just to see, we kind of just wanted to try out using these really big sphere molds with resin. We don't do anything with them. They sit in our garage.
A lot of our experiments.
Yeah. The potato resin gems.
Yeah.
You know, now there are some things that I wish would get used a little bit more.
What about our toast coasters, Caitlin?
those are still, they're in our garage still.
It's still an active experiment.
They have not molded yet, even the one with nothing on it.
Some of our projects become thing holders, like the rainbow bench. It's just a thing holder now. It's a nice decor item too. But
I will say like a great thing to build as like a mid-size project is like a bench/coffee table or side table. Guess what we have a lot of? Benches, coffee tables, and side tables. We got We have the ripple bench. We have the rainbow bench. We have the 2x4 side table. We have the galaxy black hole side table. We have the CNC live edge coffee table. We have the resin geode coffee table.
You know, one category of projects that we have used a lot are all of the home improvement projects, like reorganizing the closet with those heavy duty shelves. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
It's so great. Like the Ethernet, all of like the front door, obviously that gets used.
Yeah, all of our makeovers. I would say we're just kind of like looking through our projects.
We're just looking through them, yeah.
Some things are technically in use, but it's not like I couldn't live without them.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of things we end up not using much, like the whole Wonder Woman cosplay that we started and never finished.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that I'm glad that we're doing is we're not letting that hold us back from doing things, because a lot of the reason why we do things is to learn and to grow. Through the Wonder Woman cosplay, we learned a lot about foam.
And
we
learned
thermoplastics. Yeah. Yes. Through all of the resin experiments, we've learned
so much
about resin, which lets us do cool things like this desk or the bigger things we use, like bending resin lamps. Those lamps are in use, and we learned that through experimentation and everything. So I think that don't let a good message to keep in mind is don't let the practicality of projects hold you back. If you're excited about it, just go for it. Learn it, get that experience, and tuck that into your belt and roll that into the next project.
Tuck it in.
One question we've gotten a lot that I'm not sure if we've answered on the podcast, so let's go ahead and put it in record right now. What is the supervisor's original birth name? I know y'all call her different things, but I'm just curious. Caitlin can tell the story, and this can sit as a record, the full story, Caitlin.
We'll just have to remember in the future which podcast this is in, so we can direct people to it. A related question we get all the time is, why do we call her Jube/Juby? Is the supervisor her real name? So to put it to rest. Okay. When I adopted her, I named her Moki Bear. First name Moki, middle name Bear. Because she kind of looked like a tiny little black bear.
Mm-hmm.
And Moki, I thought it was kind of like Mocha, but cuter. Sounding, I don't know. The logic was kind of there. It's confusing because it's spelled like mochi, like the Japanese ice cream dessert.
Mm-hmm. But that's not how you pronounce it. Caitlin's the parent that has the weird name, and no, don't say it like this and spell it like this, and then that's
it's exactly that. It's like spelling. It's like if we spelled Evan like A-E-V-H-A-N, Evan. So it's a fine name.
It's a fine name.
It was too long, being three syllables, Moki Bear. And
we still sometimes call her Moki.
We call her Moki if we're talking about her to people that don't know her by her nickname. You know, I don't know. It's not often. Or if I go, for vet checkups, I say, this is Moki. Her formal name.
Or if she's in trouble.
Moki. No, we don't.
No, we don't. We call her
we still call her Jube or Turd.
Turd. We call her Turd a lot when she's in trouble.
Yeah, which is being turdly. So Jube, again, very convoluted, weird, random story. Jube is a name that my brother called me once. When he was little, and not me to my face, but there was a photo of me that he used to just point out and say Jube and call me Jube because I was in a really fluffy dress, and that was just the name that came to his mind.
Kind of like a big bean.
Yeah, I did look kind of like a big fluffy marshmallow, more of a marshmallow.
More of a marshmallow.
I looked like a marshmallow. I was really fluffy, and so somewhere deep in my brain, because this was long before I adopted her, I had it in my brain that Jube is a cute name for something small and fluffy. So I started calling her Jube. And, that evolved into all the various, variations. Juby, Juba, Jukin, Juke.
Jubear.
Jubear. Yeah, oh yeah, Jubear. The combination of
Jukin.
Yeah. So there's all these various things. We didn't start calling her the supervisor until we started making the channel. And it started, I remember what video it was first.
What was it?
So it started because when we first started our channel, we didn't have AC in the garage, and it was super, super, super hot. And so one of our earlier videos where we did a like coat rack slash key hanger, we were like, you know what? We're going to just do this whole dang thing inside. We're going to set up drop cloths. It is too hot to do it outside.
It was horrible.
It was bad. We working on the floor.
We wouldn't
is not
have
great.
This channel if we didn't install AC in the garage.
Yeah.
No, we would, but still.
Well, yeah. But anyway, so it was the first project we had done inside for the channel, and Jube was very fascinated. So she was like watching us from the couch. And I remember putting in text, like a little thing over her head that said supervisor. And then we just started referring to her as that when she popped up in videos. And it just kind of became like a thing. Now the Twitch chat has combined her name to Jubervisor. And now we call her that as well. But yeah, so that's like the very convoluted history of her
the full
name.
Story.
Yeah.
That's fun. Marcus Mono asks, what types of injuries have each of you gotten directly or indirectly from making things? What were the worst ones and which ones could have been totally avoided? Like Evan falling through the ceiling.
I mean, that was probably the worst.
Most could have, I think, all could have been avoided. I have cut myself multiple times by cutting towards my finger away from me, but I've nicked my finger a few times.
Yeah, you got a lot of little tiny finger scars.
A lot of little tiny things. One thing not really related to making. I think we were just decorating our house. I was unpacking a light that we bought from IKEA, and it's a glass circle sphere, and I just bumped it as light as possible, like on accident, against one of our countertops, and it shattered and the glass hit my toe. That was one injury I've had recently.
So probably one of my worst ones, and mine aren't that bad. Mine don't really involve blood. It was in the workshop, but it wasn't related to a specific project. We were just kind of cleaning up, but I dropped a 2x4 on my toe.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought it broke. It didn't. But, like, I couldn't move it. It was really swollen.
Yeah, we had to, like, ice it and
elevate
it and
all that. And I was in, like, tennis shoes. And it was just a 2x4. And it wasn't even that far of a fall. I don't know what happened. It must have hit it, like, just right on the corner.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, I guess I could have been wearing steel-toed boots. But just to clean up.
But
I did not think about that.
In general, we are very conscious of safety. From my engineering background, I came from a background where safety is super, super, super important. We have meetings before we do things, and it's like, that's just been drilled into my head, and I know how dangerous a lot of this is. In our videos, we come across as silly and fun, and we are silly and fun. But at the same time, before we do things, Caitlin and I usually check in with each other and say, like, okay, I'm going to be here. You're going to be here. We're going to move like this. We like if it's a test, if it's like a big cut, we like make sure everything is braced and we like test it to make sure that it, but we just don't capture all of that.
If we're doing
that's
something,
not interesting.
We're doing something with fire. We have a fire extinguisher nearby and you know, there's lots of various things.
Yeah, but that does make it into the video so much because it's the silly things that are more fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, Evan falling through the ceiling, though, that probably was the...
That was the scariest.
That was the scariest, and that was the accident that had the highest chance of serious injuries. That is scary. Addicts are just scary in general.
You were pretty bruised up on your back and your legs for a while.
That probably was one of the worst.
After that. But we've been pretty lucky, like... Nothing major or life changing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but I don't think so.
I did kind of, not too bad, but making the cat treat toys, the foraging toys.
Oh, yeah, when it slapped, like the drill slapped you?
Yeah, when the drill slapped me.
Yeah.
That hurt. It didn't, like, I don't think I bled or anything.
That drill slaps.
That drill slaps.
Maker Barn Drawn asks, sometimes Caitlin wears glasses and sometimes not. Is there a time or place when you always need them? Are you farsighted or nearsighted? Do you use contact lenses?
Okay, so...
We each have eye stories.
That's true, yeah. Different. It's just you don't wear your glasses super often. Sometimes in videos you wear them.
So my eyes are confusing. One of my eyes is nearsighted. One of them is farsighted. I actually have perfect vision. I can... see very detailed. I'm looking at the mic that's like in front of my face and I can see it really well with my nearsighted eye. With my farsighted eye, I can read way over there. My brain just has acclimated to it. And I'm like, it's strange. When I put on glasses and both of my eyes have far sight again, I get headaches. I get dizzy sometimes, which is why I usually don't wear them, because I have perfect bifocal vision built in.
I have perfect bifocal vision.
I mean, okay. Like the thing is, as I age, how you focus.
Do they both get more extreme?
Yes, because how you focus your eyes is there's a muscle in your head and in your eye socket and everything that pulls and contracts and shifts and everything. And as you age, that gets weaker. When you're younger, you can see far and near because your muscles are really good. And as you age, that muscle ages and you aren't able to focus as much. It's more of like a fixed lens and you can only see at like one focus range that your eye is naturally shaped for. So as I age, my far-sighted eye is going to become more far-sighted and my near-sighted eye is going to become more nearsighted. So I'll be able to use one eye for close and one eye for far.
So it's different for me. I had to get glasses starting in like fourth or fifth grade. And I had them all the way up till I was 21 and I got LASIK surgery, which was great. And it lasted for many, many years. But one thing that I didn't know when I got it is that it eventually kind of starts degrading. And so I am now, when we started the channel, I was okay. At this point, 3 years later, I have gone through a shift where my eyes have started reverting. They're not nearly as bad as they were for most of my life, where I couldn't see more than a couple feet in front of my face. But they're bad enough that, like, without my glasses, I can't read the labels on anything in our closet or, like, the text on my computer, which is a little bit away.
So it's like your eyesight is very usable. It's just, like, far away details aren't the best. So,
yeah.
So oftentimes for, like, when we're streaming, Caitlin needs to read the text on the screens that's really, really tiny. Or
the reason I wear my glasses more on stream and for podcasts is actually because I don't feel like putting on like as much makeup as I do for filming. And I'm like, I'll just throw my glasses on.
But add some fanciness to your face.
Yeah, add some fanciness, some intrigue. The computer's close enough that I can read it decently most of the time. Sometimes extra small things, I do have to go in a little bit closer.
Yeah.
So I hated having contacts. I don't think I would go back to contacts as like a regular measure. And sometimes I'll be wearing my glasses and sometimes I won't be.
It's kind of random. All right, Will Burke asks, Evan, how did the coding for the Poser project feel? It's a completely different skill set compared to a lot of other recent project tasks. I, in general, like coding. It's fun to problem solve. It's fun to do that. I took robotics classes in college while I was studying engineering as an elective, and I really liked it. So on that side of things, the actual doing of it and learning of it, I like doing it. I like learning it. But what Caitlin and I do, our business is creating content. And I just haven't seen any examples of people creating widely accessible coding content that is entertaining and desired by people to watch.
So, when you say coding content, you mean like instructional coding content,
or like, I think that demonstrating what code does is interesting, like demonstrating the end result of my work in the Poser project was interesting and was pretty neat. But like the actual process of coding, for me at least, involves Googling a whole bunch, researching codes and libraries, looking at example codes, pulling snippets from here to there to there to there, testing it out. It fails. Testing, tweaks out. It fails. Lots and lots of failures. Tons of iterations. I probably exported code 100 times during this project. And, like, that many repeated failures and tests, just, at least for my level, it's just not, I just don't see it making good content. And that's okay if we had time. But, you know, we just haven't had that much time. So it was interesting. I'm glad I did it. I'm going to keep on doing it. But I think that like me learning code is going to kind of be a side hobby. And when I integrate it into projects, cool. And if we have a desired outcome that coding can solve, coding and electronics can solve, then I'll pursue it actively for a while, and integrate the results. But I think in terms of the like build, there's like a range from interesting to less interesting. Like resin is always interesting, which is why we do it a lot, because it's so unknown. It's like so fluid. It's artistic. It's satisfying. And like we've done resin pours like 20 times on this channel. Not always like, it's not always the primary focus, but we've done so many resin things and it's so different, interesting, unique, and unexpected every time. Like woodworking is kind of in the middle. Some aspects of woodworking is interesting. Coding is on the far end of not interesting from my perspective. Like, because in general, we make videos that we would want to watch. And I know coding might be interesting for some people, but watching other people code may not be the most interesting to me. And that's what we know. So we make the content that we would like to watch, and that's how we judge all of this. So not saying that coding content isn't interesting in general, but for the type of content we like to make.
It's kind of, there's another question from Will, kind of related to what you're just talking about, because mm-hmm. it has to do with resin. Caitlin, what's something that you'd love to make using resin, but is probably highly impossible for safety/structural reasons? We do have a resin table that's on our list. It's not really impossible for like safe, for like structural reasons. Like it would be sturdy.
Yeah.
The problem is it would weigh hundreds of pounds. So that's an issue because it's essentially a solid block of resin and other materials.
Like 10 gallons of resin or something.
In like a single piece.
Maybe more.
This is not fully related, but there have been some resin projects, and some we've kind of done anyway, just with like caveats. But resin isn't food safe, but like that's often something where it's like, oh man, that would be so cool to make it out of resin.
Yeah.
Like it'd be so fun to make like a resin coffee cup or something. But there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you can't, you shouldn't really be like eating or drinking out of resin.
Last question from Will Burke. Have you ever thought about completely swapping tasks for one project to mix it up? In general, we both can do a lot of what the other person does. We like overlapping our skills and stuff, but we also really like efficiency.
I think efficiency is
so important to us.
Yeah, efficiency always wins in the end. So I don't foresee us being like, hey, Caitlin, how about you learn CAD right now? Just, you know, even though in theory it'd be great for me to become more proficient at CAD. And it would be great for, like, you to, you know, do more of the graphics, like graphic design or something, you know. And it's not
especially
you do some graphics.
Editing.
I feel like there's more things that, like, Evan does that I can't do than I do that you can
do. No. What, Caitlin, what do we do? What's the main thing we do? Make videos.
Yeah.
You need to edit for that.
You can.
Oh, no. Like, I halfway edit.
That's true.
I would do, like, the difference between my edit and Caitlin edit, like, I'd 50% edit. Caitlin, like, gets it pretty close to 100%. And also, she, like, while she edits, she's done it so many times. She knows, like, as she, like, drags content in, she knows, like, the flow of things. She knows when to go fast, when to go slower. She knows what music to put in and everything. And that's just something I'd struggle with. And I'd feel frustrated. And I'd go very slow. Like, would it, in general, potentially be good? I don't know. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. Like, in some ways, maybe I could help out if you are, you know, not available, or you need a break or something. But let's just like structure our schedule and life and everything so that neither one of us is completely overwhelmed and we can balance each other out. But in general, we haven't really considered that.
If there is something that if there's a specific task where it would make the video more entertaining, I could see us doing something like that. I can't think of the best example, but like, let's say this example obviously doesn't apply to us, but let's say Evan was really great at soap making and I sucked, and I was really great at candle making and he sucked.
Yeah.
And we kind of like instructed each other to do the other task. Something where it's like the process is entertaining, but like me trying to learn CAD is not entertaining to watch. So, and if it's not entertaining to watch, then of course there is value in learning things. We just don't have the time, you know.
One very interesting thing about both of the skills that we're talking about, the main things that we don't overlap, because in terms of writing social media posts, uploading social media posts, negotiating with sponsors, uploading the gaming videos, doing the metadata for that, like so much of what we do in our days, there is complete overlap. Either one of us can do it. Mm-hmm. And that is the stuff we flex on. When I'm busy with CAD, Caitlin does all of that. When Caitlin's busy with editing, I try to do all mm-hmm. of that. And so there's a ton of flexibility that in our days, because in terms yeah. of our days, filming together, we do together always, because like, you know, it's better together. Or if even just one of us is on, you know, being shown, the other one of us is filming or mm-hmm. monitoring or et cetera. So that's what we spend a lot of our time doing. But between like, while we're not filming, more time is spent doing all the miscellaneous stuff than even editing, which is our second biggest time suck.
Yeah.
So we are flexible in so much of what we do, and we can swap there.
Yeah.
But it's interesting in terms of the two skills that we've been talking about, CAD and editing, they take a very specific like mindset and skill that can't really be taught easily. With CAD, I could show Caitlin like all the buttons to click and everything like that, but I have a specific knack for visualizing 3D objects in my head. Mm. I just see them in my head. I see 3D objects all the time. I look at things and I see the internals of how they work. Like in my head, I always have like X-ray vision, but just like of like the components and stuff. I like mm-hmm. I love looking at mechanical things and breaking down how they work. That's just how my mind works. It's always been how my mind has worked.
Whereas my mind, I edit things in my brain.
Yeah, Caitlin
like,
does.
When we're filming, I'm like, oh, Evan just did something silly. I'm going to cut to my face here because I like know I'm doing something like in reaction,
yeah.
you know, or whatever it is. Or like, this is where I cut the music. I'm editing it in my head.
There's just some like natural inherent boost that we both have for those two things that like we might be able to get there through thousands of hours of practice perhaps,
but also we both like what we do. I love editing
and I like doing CAD.
Yeah, so
it's great. Yeah.
Okay, next question. So this is from Gary Criswell, but we also had a similar question from Corey Van Note. Who is one non-maker YouTuber that you would like to collab with?
Yeah, Corey just was talking about collabs in general, but I thought that Gary's like twist on it, a non-maker YouTuber.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have yours in mind?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have mine in mind too. So I'll explain why. I think that it's that like who we want to collab with are just people we want to like hang out with.
Yeah.
I just like want to. There's so many cool people out there making YouTube videos that I just want to hang out with. One.
I have like a specific scenario even for mine.
Oh, one couple that we want to hang out with that makes YouTube videos is Jenna and Julian, just because
that's my answer.
They seem like so much fun. I just want to do art with them. I want to do art tours.
I want to do art in five minute crafts.
Yeah,
with them.
That sounds like that's so much fun. It sounds like a fun hangout.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I would like to do like a resin pour or something. Oh with them,
my gosh.
They haven't done that. It's very acrylic pour adjacent, which they've done.
It's so funny because like if you watch Jen and Julian, you know that Julian is like the Aries. He's a little bit chaotic and everything. But it's funny because when they do art, he kind of has a easier time stopping at a good point and everything, where Jenna just like keeps on going. She's got that too much gene, and I relate to the too much gene. I just want to keep on adding stuff.
But yeah, that would be super, super fun.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Brian Fitzpatrick asks, I love the variety of projects you guys make, even when it pains you not to put resin on everything. Which project do you think had the lowest barrier to entry, cost, experience, etc., and which had the highest?
So I think in general, projects that have lower barriers to entry, honestly, my first instinct Well, let me back it up. I think like anything that's a little bit more on the crafty side and doesn't require like power tools, because power tools can be expensive and they can be kind of intimidating, and like it's a little bit hard if you don't have the space. So staying on the crafty side, doing things like little IKEA hacks or things that are more art based. But for the sake of
I think our IKEA hack was our most accessible video we've ever done.
Yeah.
If we were going to choose a single video, I think the IKEA hacks.
But I'll go into like kind of one step further projects. I actually think that concrete projects.
Really? Concrete?
Are pretty darn low barrier to entry. I wanted to say like woodworking.
I think that concrete projects are good bang for your buck, but they still are hard.
But see, I think it's a lot easier to learn
mold
like
making.
No. I did not say mold making. There's a lot of concrete stuff you can do without mold making.
Just like little simple hacks, like the concrete stools and stuff. Or
yeah, like concrete bucket stool. Like one of our first project is we just made these little concrete letters doing using store-bought molds, concrete coasters using store-bought molds.
Yeah.
There's a lot of concrete stuff. Or even if you're setting up like slightly bigger things, there's a lot of really easy molds you can make just using wood.
What about flow acrylics?
Yeah, but that goes into my first category of like art and craft videos.
Okay, so excluding arts and crafts.
Excluding arts and crafts, I actually think that concrete can be one of the lowest barrier to entry because it's very cheap.
Yeah.
There's not that many variables. You know, with woodworking, there's so many more variables. The type of wood, the level of tool you have.
And concrete is more foolproof than resin.
It's cheaper, way cheaper, which makes it a lower barrier to entry.
Concrete.
Yeah, and you can just like get it at the store near you. Well, I guess resin you can get near you. Yeah,
concrete anyways. And crafts. That's on the easy
concrete
side.
Crafts.
I have one in particular for the hardest.
Okay.
What's yours?
Oh, I didn't think of one in particular. I have like a hard category. Let's see if my category lines up with you. I think digital fabrication based ones, and I would say specifically CNC.
Specifically CNC. CNC are big barrier to entry. You need to know CAD. You need to know programming.
Yeah.
I mean, like if you go with the complex ones, you can just like open up easel, draw shapes, draw letters, and it just cuts. And
it can be super
That's pretty
easy.
Still expensive, but it can be easy if you go for the easy ones.
Yeah.
I have something even harder. When I first thought of like our hardest project we've done, I actually thought of the randomized poster that involved a ton of CAD,
so hard.
A ton of experiments with like materials and everything. It required electronics. It required like wiring and programming and a whole bunch of CNC and all that. And I thought that was going to be our hardest, but I actually have one step up from that. Damascus knife.
Oh, gosh.
You need a lot of equipment, a lot of experience, a lot of barriers to entry to make Damascus.
Yeah, okay, that one wins. Luckily, that one we had
wins
help.
By far. If we hadn't have had Alec there, no way we would have ever, ever, ever made that. And all of his machines and equipment and stuff.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, I will say, so that one that one is different for us because we did do it with Alec at his shop with all of his stuff.
But it was a project that we took on.
Yes. One project that like I actually think was decently, it was more difficult than I expected, was actually our resin geode table to me.
Oh, flattening the slab?
Flattening the slab.
Well, it wasn't like it was time consuming and annoying, but it wasn't like the most difficult thing, because all we could have done is we could have just dropped it off at a woodworking place and paid them money, and they could have just given it to us.
Well, yeah, but you can like use that. You can use that argument for like almost anything.
Yeah,
anyways, but yeah, I think Damascus wins.
Damascus wins
for hardest.
All right, so Tony Tang asks, when you guys started the channel, was it hard to motivate yourself to shoot and edit the videos? I shot a bunch of videos and never actually found the time to edit any of them. It was very easy to motivate ourselves to shoot and edit the videos because that was the whole, like we knew why. We knew why we were doing it. And we were very driven to accomplish those goals. I think it's easy to like lose steam if you don't really have a vision for the brand, for the business, for the channel, for just all of that. Because it's what we do is fun. What we do is enjoyable for us, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of time and it's draining.
Yeah. And I feel like you see so many people putting the stuff that they make on YouTube. And so it's like, well, that seems like the obvious natural progression. Like maybe you start sharing it on Instagram first, then it seems like the next step would be YouTube. But if you start doing that without really knowing why, then I think that's, like you said, that's where you lose your motivation. Yeah. And for us, the motivation wasn't because it wasn't really about having a YouTube channel. It was about finding a way that we could work together doing things that we liked. And YouTube was kind of like the path to that goal.
And also, I mean, there's the saying that I don't like in a way, you know, from Silicon Valley and stuff, like fail hard, fail fast. Like if you're going to put a lot of time and money and effort into this thing, like starting a business takes a lot of time, money, effort, all this stuff. You know, we started with fairly basic equipment, but like by now, where we're at right now, we have spent so much money on all of this, the computers, the cameras, the sound equipment,
the supplies,
the streaming, all of that. If you're getting into this, seriously, you're going to spend a lot of money. So we spent the least amount of money needed to get going. And then we tried to like, hey, let's pretend like this is our full-time job. Mm-hmm. So that we know if we should keep on going down this route, and let's do it as fast and as hard as we can. Mm-hmm. So that we know whether we like this or not. Let's pretend like, that's basically like our mentality was, let's pretend like we're full-time YouTubers right now.
Even though we are both working full-time jobs.
Yeah. So that's how we went into it.
And I think another thing, and this is something that worked for us. Maybe it's like too much pressure, but it worked for us, is we gave ourselves a launch day.
Yeah.
For our channel, and we gave ourselves like a few months to film a handful of videos and kind of get started and get a feel for things. But then we stuck to that date. And I think if you don't have a date, then there's nothing holding you to it. And it makes it easier to put it off and put it off. And yeah.
Second to last question. Joel Cannon asks, what is one skill or lesson you wish you had learned sooner? I think that when I think of everything that we've learned, I mainly think of what we're actually doing. Yes, we're building the stuff, but the main thing we're putting most of our time into is creating content. So when I actually think of what lessons do we wish we had learned sooner, all of the thoughts I have go to content creation and not actually woodworking, resin, any of that stuff. Because also, those lessons we learned on camera, and it's good that we learned them on camera because it made for good content. The main thing I wish we had learned earlier is how to film and edit efficiently. And we've talked about this, I think, a lot in past episodes. I think when we interviewed you about editing in general, but like learning how to do intros, how to do outros, learning how to, you know, when to film and how long to film and then what style to film and like all of those things we've learned about, like it actually all comes down to filming for me.
I think a lot of it does for me too. And this isn't really like a skill set, but more just like coming to a realization that the investment was worth it, but investing in better audio and better cameras. Like we finally did that in 2019, but we started the channel in 2017 and we were dealing with really bad audio.
Oh, like,
and like, okay, cameras, like the end product looked good, but they were really hard to deal with.
And they were hard to film with. Never focusing right. Ugh.
So there, we went through so much pain on the audio and video.
Unnecessarily. Yeah. We should have just invested in that earlier.
Yeah. But again, it kind of goes back to what you're saying before. We wanted to like figure out if this is the path we wanted to go on before like investing too much.
We just had to start running.
Yeah. We just had to start running with what we had. And then you kind of like, you're like, well, it's good enough. This is what we've been using. And you kind of put it off.
Another thing I wish we had learned earlier. This is the most complicated thing of everything. of all of the, I think, skills that we've learned, like when to film, you can describe that. You can teach that. When to, and like, you know, camera gear, you can tell someone what to get and everything. The most difficult skill we've picked up on is an intuitive sense of what will make for a good clickable video.
Yeah.
And I think that's the holy grail of what like YouTubers are always pursuing. Not that we know it.
But we're better at it now than we used to be.
When we know it, we have a pretty good like
yeah.
feeling. We like coming up with those ideas is painful, difficult, hard, time consuming, not always pleasant. We go through days.
Sometimes it is, honestly. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just kind of
When you're under the gun and you need a video project and you're losing days, then it's hard. If you're just discussing ideas over coffee over a chill morning, that's amazing and fun. But like coming up with ideas is really hard. But like knowing when you have it, I think that's the thing that like we've gotten so much better about, and knowing when we don't have it and we need to keep on pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. And I was trying to think of like other kind of behind the scenes skills. I feel like we actually on the business side of things in terms of like talking with sponsors and this and that, I feel like we did pretty well early on, just kind of like
because of our past business experience too. Yeah. I mean, we both worked at large corporations and we know what corporations want and stuff to a certain degree and we know how to talk with them.
And in terms of things like video style, you know, if we'd shifted our style earlier, it might have been too forced or whatever. So there's a certain amount of like, I don't want to change. I wouldn't wish for things to be different because I like where I am now. And if things have been different, we might not be where we are now.
I think that if I were to say like one skill I wish I'd have learned sooner, if we could only choose one, I might choose knowing what videos are good.
Yeah.
Because more than anything, I think that would benefit us.
Yeah.
Because if from the beginning we had have known how to choose those more like clickable videos, we would be even bigger than we are now. Not that that's the point. I mean, the point is to hang out together and have fun. But a lot of what we're talking about is like for the benefit of the business, and the bigger the channel is, the bigger the business is. So yeah. That's my thoughts.
Yeah.
Last question from Sarah Lawner.
Do you see an N in there?
I don't see an N at all. Sarah?
Lauer.
Lauer. What does the perfect day off look like for you?
Okay.
I want to hear your I have two answers.
Okay.
And I want to hear yours first.
Okay. So not waking up too early. We make really good coffee at home. So probably having some coffee, just like chilling on the couch, chit-chatting. Then we would go to brunch. And have tasty brunch. I'm thinking that the pasta place the French pasta toast. Place.
Oh, yeah. So good.
So we would go have brunch. And then I don't know the exact order of things. There would definitely be like massages. Like I want to go get massages and like commandeer someone's hot tub. Maybe it's at the place we get massages. Maybe we borrow your parents' hot tub. I just want to like be in a hot tub.
And like just relax. 100% relax. Just like float there. Read. Yeah, read.
Chill by the pool / hot tub. And then like have a good dinner and watch a movie or something and then go on a walk.
That would be my, I have two categories. That would be my ideal normal day off.
Yeah.
And then my dream day off.
Oh.
We would be in Krabi, Thailand.
Oh, well, yeah.
We would be at this one resort that we absolutely love.
It's where Thailand. We went on our honeymoon.
It's where we went on our honeymoon. We'd be there and we'd just have like another day like we had on our honeymoon, just like being at the beach, traveling around, going on a hike, going out on a boat to a picnic lunch on an island. Like this, like a vacation life.
Living
that vacation life. Yeah. That'd be my ideal day off. That's a little bit of a, that's a very big amount of a stretch. but like if someone's asking me what my ideal day is, that'd be my ideal day.
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's a great place to end it. Thank you everyone who submitted questions. We'll try to do this again in the future and just keep on answering your questions. This is really fun.
Wait. We got to do the thing of the week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was wrapping up the Q&A, and then we're doing Q of the Week or thing of the week. And I'm going to quickly look at my phone because I've forgotten.
I wasn't thing prepared. Of the week either. Wait, no, I have a thing. I have a thing.
You have
a thing?
Thing
I can do. Yeah,
ooh,
yeah.
Ooh,
okay.
Ooh.
Okay. So my thing of the week, it's not a specific video, and I'm going to try to give like a content thing because I know a lot of people are looking for like extra stuff to watch, and a lot of you guys have probably already heard of this because it's not like it's a small thing, but Bon Appetit has
you're going to take my thing!
I said it first. Bon Appetit has been doing this like at home series, and it's really cute, really well put together. It's like all your favorite characters from Bon Appetit in their home kitchens, and it's filmed where it kind of cuts back and forth between them, and so there will be a theme like making their favorite coffee or making pantry pasta.
It's so cute and wholesome.
It's so cute.
I don't know, I love it. And you pick up
like,
tips.
You get to see their pets and their kitchens and like their kids, and it's just really cute, really wholesome. Like you kind of just feel like you're hanging out with them.
Yeah.
It's awesome. There's several in the series, and that's my thing of the week. Did I talk long enough for you to find a new thing of the week? Okay.
Okay. This is going to be completely random because it's just kind of coming out of nowhere.
Yes.
Okay, so Caitlin and I also run a gaming channel called Evan and Caitlin Gaming. You might have heard us talk about it a few times.
We might
and there.
Mention it all the time.
So I every now and then will watch like another person's gaming video just to see what other people are doing and stuff like that. And a lot of them are fairly typical, what you'd kind of expect from gaming videos. Except for this one channel, Neebs Gaming. What the heck?
I've never seen more cinematically edited gaming videos that are also so hilarious and like immersive.
They're like a TV episode. They're very interesting. They're very unique. So like they usually wrap around a plot, which is good.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we do. We start with
a
plot.
In all of these games, they also have a person also there just being a camera person, not doing anything, just feel like, you know, like they have three main characters, and then usually like a camera guy
who's another player in the game that is just watching the other characters so that there's a camera quote unquote view of what the three people are doing.
And they do like establishing shots, or like they do like sunrise or sunset, or like
a shot of their base from outside.
A shot of their base from outside. And they like in one scene, one of them was being pulled underwater, and like they had the underwater voice effect, and like
It's just so well done, but they're also
so well done.
It's not just that, but they're also hilarious. But like the unique thing is like how well done it is, because it makes it like a show with the establishing shots and the third person view, and like it's great.
It's great.
It's so great. A lot of I don't want this to come off the wrong way. A lot of like gaming videos are not heavily edited.
The typical gaming video is the game and commentary, sometimes with a face cam, sometimes without a face cam, and usually it's just highlights. All of the funny moments.
Highlights as in the dead parts cut out.
The dead parts cut out. And usually it's just like all of the funny things that happened during the gameplay. That's the standard thing. But this, there's like a goal, and then they get sidetracked, and then they have this quest, and then like there's like... it's interesting.
They also do something. Okay, so this is similar to what I do, and this is maybe just something that like my brain thinks of because I am always in editing mode. But when you are adding music to your video, there's music because it's cool and trendy, and then there's like music to make the viewer feel a certain way. So when we first started editing, we did music that was cool and trendy, just stuff that we thought sounded cool, had nothing to do with the video. Now the way I use music is like, if there's a tense music, I will use tense music. If something messes up, I'm going to use like derpy music
or sad
or sad music or whatever,
and this helps like emphasize moments.
If we're just kind of like being goofy, I'll put some like slightly goofy music in the background. And so it's not about choosing something that's nice to listen to. It's about choosing something that emphasizes the mood. And I haven't seen
appropriate.
And I haven't seen other gaming channels do that. Our editors do it on the gaming channel.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of the same music we use on our main channel, but they do it on their gaming channel
really well.
And they use a lot of the same songs we use. And I was like, oh, that's Kevin MacLeod's Investigations. You know? Like,
It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed this Q&A episode. I hope you all are doing okay out there.
We definitely want to answer more of the Qs that we couldn't get to.
Yeah.
Because you guys had a lot of good questions.
Yeah. And if you want to support Evan and Caitlin podcast, you know, share it with a friend, perhaps. Rate it 5 stars. We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. We see every single 5-star review. It comes to our email inbox.
Yep.
And it's just like a little nice boost to our day.
Yeah.
So we appreciate it. And we'll look forward to seeing you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.